it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. And Mark Johnson, he's the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, but Mark's all over the place, man. If he could be, he could be in the wilderness somewhere building an entire cabin with just one small tree, or he could be with the CU Buffs, he could be on a Buffalo, or he could be at Broncos training camp. Mark, my man, this is why I love it. You are the most versatile sportsman in the business, my friend.
Yeah, you know, what's the whole line about, you know, jack of all trades, master of none? You know, that's kind of what I do. I just, I do everything at a very average level, and that way I always cover myself.
I don't think so, man. I would beg to differ on that. But, Mark, my man, all right, so before we get into some Buffs talk here, you were hanging out at Broncos camp a little bit today.
Yeah, I did. I'm actually helping at one of the Denver radio stations this afternoon, and so I figured, well, we'll probably talk a little Broncos. It's been a while since they've been out there, and I haven't experienced Rush Mania, so I thought I'd go out and take a look today. And you know, it was a walk-through day, so one of their jog-through practices. And I'll just tell you this. You know, it's all. I just did a shot on a station after I got done. They asked me to come over and give them a couple of thoughts. And I said, you know, it's amazing to me. You think of some of the tall quarterbacks that have gone through the Broncos in recent years, guys that are 6'7", 6'8", but they throw the ball with their arm angle like they're 5'11". Now you got a 6-foot quarterback out there in Russell Wilson, who's got an unbelievably over-the-top high delivery. He throws it like he's 6'4". The thing that struck me about him is, number one, he's not very tall, but number two, how unbelievably live his arm is. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you see those guys have got that kind of arm strength and the way they throw, his release is high, it is quick, and it's the flick of a wrist, and it just comes exploding out of his hand. I'm always shocked and amazed when I see quarterbacks like that, when they've got that kind of arm. And that, never having watched him in person, I've obviously seen him a thousand times like everybody else has on television, but standing there watching him today in person, the way he throw the ball really is impressive. And you know, when you've got that quarterback, and we know how the Broncos have been in that quarterback wilderness the last 4 or 5 years, when you've got that guy, you know, it's amazing how it affects everything. But you know, the air is sweeter, the sunshine is brighter, and everything looks good, and it certainly does around the Denver Broncos right now.
Mark, don't you think, too, with Russell, where a lot of guys that are taller quarterbacks, whatever, they, you know, Josh Allen, and I'm not saying they have it easier, but it almost seems like you got to be a little bit better if you're Russell Wilson, because everything has to be a little craftier, so to speak, and you have to find ways to move up into that pocket so you can see what's going on down the field. And I do think there's a big difference there, but you almost wonder if Russell, his talent level being at that height, man, you always wonder, like, what if Allen Iverson was 6'6"? What if Russell Wilson was like 6'4"?
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he wouldn't be the same quarterback.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, true.
Because he had to learn to do things. But I talked to a scouting friend of mine out there, and we were talking about when Russell came out of Wisconsin years ago. And he said at that time, he remembers telling a general manager, listen, this guy, we know he's not that 6'4", 6'5" body everyone's looking for, but he's got qualities that make him bigger. There are other quarterbacks that play smaller. You've heard that over the years. You know, I think Brock Osweiler was the prime example of that years ago with the Broncos. I had a scout tell me way back in the day, he throws the ball like a 6'9", even though he was 6'7" or 6'8", whatever he was. And Russell Wilson's the opposite of that. And so that's one of the things that makes him unique. On top of the fact he's a great leader, he's got that unbelievably quick release that explodes out of his hand, and then he's got that innate ability that not all quarterbacks have, but great ones do, where when things break down, it doesn't seem like their heartbeat ever goes up. Their pulse is always the same, and they find a way to manufacture something. And that's what makes him a special quarterback and why it's so amazing the Broncos were able to get him.
Yeah, why Broncos country is so excited to see what he can do. Mark, what are your thoughts? I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to Nathaniel Hackett or hear more about him, but, you know, it depends on who you talk to. I mean, he seems like a fun guy, a player's coach, but then you're going to get that disgruntled group that's kind of like, yeah, but he's too nice. He's hugging all the time. I don't know if I like. What are your thoughts on Nathaniel Hackett thus far?
Well, here's what I asked a few people, and again, not being out there much, I've never talked one-on-one with Nathaniel Hackett. I was just standing there when he did his post-practice presser with the mass media. And he's a very positive guy. Okay, there's great energy there. And I wondered about that same thing. Is that the way he is all the time? How do pro athletes respond to that? I had a couple of people that I trust there say, here's the deal about Nathaniel Hackett. When he's on the microphone, and he generally is. If you see him in the hallway, he's a very positive guy. Now, he is also a guy that'll get in a player's tail when they need it. And I was told, for example, there was a little problem the other day with some guys who got a little scrap of practice. Yeah. He took both of them. Both of them were kicked off the field and then went over there and basically – and he's one of those guys just able to – there was a great line – oh, my goodness. There was a great line by a politician. I'm not going to remember who it was. It might have been Winston Churchill or somebody who once said that he had the ability to tell you to go to hell in a nice way. Okay? And I've heard that about Nathaniel Hackett, that he's got that ability where he can get your tail – And one of the guys I trust said to me, when he gets the guy's tail, he'll kind of jump real quick and say, you're better than that, right? So he's criticizing you, but he's building you up at the same time. You're a better player than to make that play. That's not how I know you can play. And so he does not hesitate getting our guys. And so what I've been told, and I saw a little bit of it at practice today, he might be a positive guy, but he's not afraid, you know, to kind of get in your backside. So I think people are misjudging the positiveness of how he handles himself with weakness, and I don't think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, and I like that too, because everything that I, and again, I haven't been down there, Mark, but just the things you hear, that he does hug on guys, he does joke around a lot, talks, but you also hear he talks trash too. He gets kicked. I heard Kareem Jackson talking about it the other day, saying, you know, he's one of the biggest trash talkers out there, and it only motivates me to want to shut him up and be a little better. So isn't coaching now, whether we're talking college football or pros, it's finding ways to motivate your guys, and that can be difficult in this day and age, and that's kind of the thing that makes these guys great or not, and it sounds like he's so far so good. He's good at motivating these guys.
Well, I think what you've got to do, you can't treat everybody with kid gloves. You have to be able to get in their tail a little bit, make sure they understand, you know, that they got to be better. But I think the old days of, you think of those kind of traditional football coaches that just were, you know, just beating the heck out of you nonstop, those days are long gone. And I do think there's, you know, I had a coach years ago tell me there's 6 inches between a kick in the tail and a pat in the back. And you've got to be able to transition back and forth between it. You've got to be tough. You've got to be demanding. But you don't have to be berating. And I think from what I've seen, and again, it's a very limited exposure, from what I've seen from Nathaniel Hackett and the people I trust out there, say he walks a pretty nice line between, you know, getting a guy's backside, but yet encouraging them at the same time.
Talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Loved going there with you, my friend. But, okay, let's transition over to Carl Durrell. We've gotten to know him a little bit over the years now. What challenges do you see with him? I mean, he is such a well-put-together guy. Every time I have him on here, he's so thoughtful. He seems precise. He seems like the kind of guy that gets up at 4 in the morning. He gets his exercise done. He gets his film done. He gets everything done. He's worked 4 hours before everybody else. How does he correlate? How does he connect to this day and age with his players?
Well, what I like about Carl, I don't see extremes with him. I've been around coaches before where, you know, they're bouncing, you know, if you go from 1 to 10, they're bouncing between the 2 and the 9 all the time. And I don't think that's good either. I don't like that. Carl, I've always said, he moves between about a 4 and a 6. That's where he sits 99% of the time. And I think there's something about that. The comment I've gotten from players about him is they love because they know what they can expect from him. You know, nothing ever comes out of left field. When he praises them, it's not over-the-top ridiculous where you're just over-praising somebody. When he criticizes them, it's not that berating that I just talked about, but he's always got an eye in being constructive, okay? You know, Brady, you did a heck of a job there, but you got to be better here. That's the way he approaches things, I think, with his team. And I think players respond to that. It's been really interesting to watch the evolution with him since he's in the short time that he's been here. Through those first two odd seasons, all the COVID stuff that was going on, and now being around these guys and watching this camp, I've had every guy to a man. Brady Russell, who's you know, a veteran on that team, the tight end from up there in Fort Collins, was telling me the other day, he goes, Mark, I think this is the best atmosphere of any camp I've ever been around. He said it's positive, but critiquing, And he said, there's great energy. I feel like the players have got ownership of this. So I like what I've been seeing from, I think, an atmosphere and energy standpoint with the Buffalo so far. I think that's a direct result of the way Carl kind of approaches things, and that never gets too high or too low.
Doesn't that just go to show you, though, we just talked about two head coaches, Nathaniel Hackett, high energy. He's running around doing stuff. And then you have Carl Rowe, because you're right, he's thoughtful, he's great. I think he's a hard worker, but, you know, you look at him and you talk to him, and he's an even-keel guy. He's not going to get too animated one way or the other. But doesn't that just go to show you that it's not always one way to do something? There's a lot of different coaches' personalities out there that mix in, and hopefully Carl's is one of those that really starts to resonate with the Buffs.
You know, Brady, what you have to have, you got to have integrity, and you have to have transparency, okay? If a player feels, I don't care if this is the NFL or it's college or high school or Pop Warner or whatever, if a player feels that you're being honest with them, they can accept all kinds of different personality traits. If they feel like they're being jerked around a little bit and they never quite know, you know, where they stand, that's always a recipe for disaster. And that's, you know, that's why I watch coaches very closely over the course of my career and trying to figure out, you know, what works, what does not work. And the one thing that's become abundantly clear, crystal clear in 35 years of doing this, if you are genuine and players understand who you are and what you stand for, I think they can accept that. You know, there was Mike Rosen was a great talk show host I worked with at KOA down in Denver for many, many years. Mike always had a great line. He said, before you tell me where you stand, tell me where you sit. Mm. And I always thought that was an interesting line, and I think there's great truth in that. So if you're genuine and players feel like they can trust you, they'll accept different personality types as long as they realize, I know exactly where I stand right now. Okay, now the coach has been critical of me. Now he's been praising me, but I know exactly where I stand, and there's nobody's yanking my chain around. I think that's the most important thing. And I certainly see that with Carl, having been with him now for three seasons or two plus. And Nathaniel Hackett seems to have that same quality about him, where he's always very forthright, and then his personality then, you know, works around, you know, that foundation, if you will.
Yeah, certainly a lot can be said about a guy that kind of just lets you know who he is right off the bat. Mark, yeah. I love going here on these topics of discussion with you as well. And, man, we're getting closer and closer to talking about some football game action. So I cannot wait. Well, actually, we will have a Broncos game to talk about after the weekend.
Right.
So
yep.
There
Cowboys
we go, man.
Coming to town tomorrow. Yep.
Yeah, get a little joint practice happening there. So I'm excited about that. Mark, my friend, love what you do. Not many better, in my opinion. So you just keep up the great work, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Look forward to it, Brady.
All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, but very versatile. He's out talking Broncos, so we thought we'd pick his brain a little bit there today. 12:49 the time. We'll take a quick break, Jades. When we come back, I'll wrap up hour number one. We'll get to today in the NFL, biggest question marks surrounding the Broncos, and a little bit more. So stay tuned. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
What the Rock is cooking.
12:53 the time. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Again, we're live from the Allo Communications Studios. I think we do tend to evaluate coaches. Sometimes I think we go a little too far. You know, we get really strict with how they did this, how they did that. I mean, we see so many different coaches, and it works for them. Bill Belichick. I've heard he was actually funny in real life, in person, but I don't know. But he's very curmudgeon-y, sounds very curmudgeon-y, and I don't know if he really has fun out there or if it's obvious. When he knows the camera's on, he certainly isn't trying to show that at all. But then you see a guy like Nathaniel Hackett. That guy is full of energy all the time, constantly running around, constantly moving. And then Carl Durrell's kind of the guy that crosses his arms and just kind of evaluates his team. You know, just I could see him as that guy. Now, I've never seen him actually in practice, but I've seen him on the sidelines of games. Buffs don't let you see him practice. And that, now you see Jay Norvell. Jay Norvell at CSU is very much a runaround, seems like kind of a perfectionist, but he's running from the next station. You know, if a, hey, the whistle blows, it's time to move on to the next thing. He is in a full, straight up, his shoulders are upright position, and he is just jogging right down the field, beating the players almost, racing to beat them. And then you see, you know, other guys like Ed McCaffrey. I mean, you heard Aaron Rath the other day. Ed McCaffrey is so hot out there when they're practicing. McCaffrey doubles up a little bit. He wears dark pants and a heavier shirt or whatever just to kind of say, hey, I get it. It's hot. I won't be in shorts and comfortable either, so I'll at least try to join you there. You find ways to connect with your team. You just, there's a lot of people out there. You're not going to make everybody happy. But I think that that's an interesting note, you know, just talking about two totally different guys in Carl Durrell and Nathaniel Hackett that might be able to achieve still some success. Now, Carl Durrell, the COVID year was great for him. He was the Pac-12 Coach of the Year in the COVID years. But outside of that, they haven't been so good. So I root for that guy. It's tough, Jades, because you get to know these guys. I mean, I kind of, not really, but kind of got to know Steve Addazio just through the show. You have anytime you have a 30-minute, 20-minute conversation with somebody on the radio, yeah, it's, you connect with them a little bit. It's not like you're best friends. You're not telling each other deep, dark secrets necessarily, but you do connect. There are other guys that you connect with even more. I mean, I've spent time checking out the facilities with Ed McCaffrey. I grew up loving that guy, obviously, a Denver Bronco. So you do root for these guys, and they all have these different personalities and way they do things, which I think makes my job so much fun. That's what I love about it, is different personalities and following these guys. It does make it tough, though, because you want Carl Durrell to succeed because you like the guy. But it might not work out with the way things are going. It just might not, and you kind of got to be ready for it. But I like his personality. I like the way he does things, and we'll find out if it finally takes hold there for the Colorado Buffaloes this season. And again, the COVID year was nice, but it was the COVID year, and they didn't even play like the harder part of their schedule on that. So I guess we'll find out, man. I'm not holding my breath for Colorado. I don't know that Carl Durrell's on the hot seat necessarily, but if he has a bad season here, next year certainly is. 12:57 the time. I feel like we say that all the time. You get tired of it. Vic Fangio, Steve Addazio, all of these guys, you do get tired of the hot seat talk, but that's the way it is when it comes to football in our states. Final hour coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome into The Whole Show. This is the time where we jump into the lunch rush here, right at the crack of noon, almost 5 minutes after. Top stories surrounding the land of sports, and it was a lot of baseball last night. It was kind of a crazy night. We had the dude with the cell phone fall out of his pocket. We already talked about that. That was absolutely crazy. But how about your boy, Jade, Shohei Ohtani, joining Babe Ruth as the only players in Major League Baseball history to have at least 10 home runs and 10 wins in the same season. He's a unicorn of a baseball player. I mean, it's just we're not seeing anything quite like this. Nuts, too. I mean, how long ago was that? 1918? As the only players in Major League history to have at least 10 home runs, 10 wins in the same season, according to the Angels, two players from the their leagues back in the early days, the Negro Leagues did it, and Bullet Rogan of the 1922 Kansas City Monarchs and Ed Ryle of 1927 Detroit Stars. So it is worth mentioning that. Crazy story, man. It was a wild night in baseball. Might as well stay here. Padres went after Josh Hader. They traded for him. I think Padres fans were kind of weird about it.
Padres were winning 4-1 over the Giants last night. Enter Josh Hader. They go into the top of the ninth, and he just loads the bases over and over again, man. Tie game 4-4. Manny Machado gets him out of it at the bottom of the ninth. They win the game. But still, absolutely crazy. And I went to Padres Twitter just because I want to see crazy stuff, how the fans react. They were freaking out. Just absolutely freaking out at this trade. And right there, you saw it. It was scary times. You had that game at hand, 4-1. And not only did you give up the lead, you created the tie, but loaded the bases and gave everybody a heart attack like three times. Crazy. All right, a basketball story here. Boston Celtics open with the top projected win total for the 2022-23 season, followed by the Suns, Warriors, then the Bucks. How about that? The Celtics are projected to win over 54, or 54.5, I should say. Suns at 53, Bucks at 52, Warriors at 52. The Nuggets, if you're tracking at home, are picked in, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th. And picked to win under 50 games. So 49.5 right there for the Nuggets. So there you have it. The lunch rush. Crazy night last night, Jage. I will tell you, I always kind of say ready for football season. But last night, I had a blast watching some baseball. Not just the Rockies were doing crazy things. Just looking over at the Padres and how that game was going down was a lot of fun. And then Shohei Ohtani continues to be a great, not only an amazing player, but aren't these the players that you need as you're trying to grow your sport? Soto's one of those guys. I think even Manny Machado's one of those guys. You're getting more and more of these guys that are household names that you want to root for, that a casual fan can pick up. Shohei Ohtani, that 10-10 is going to be something that the casual fan looks at and goes, wow, first one to do that since... the only one to do that other than Babe Ruth. That turns some heads. Plus the attitudes and the way that these guys are promoting themselves. Baseball needs these guys.
Well, it's just that next generation. That's pretty much what it comes down to. And we didn't really have any of these like flamboyant, not necessarily cocky, but just like out there. They have personality.
Right.
Because
right.
Baseball, it was so cut and dry. And now that you have people actually expressing emotion and stuff, I mean, it's making it more entertaining.
That's what you have to have, and I hope, you know, the NHL takes some of that, too. I think, you know, locally, us Avs fans watching what the Avs are doing with the Stanley Cup, like, it's well-documented. Who as they're following this team along, it kind of brings out a little more of their personality. But if you don't get behind personalities and guys that you think you can market, then that's when your sport stays stagnant and then ultimately goes south. And I think baseball was there for a while. I mean, even as a Rockies guy, because I wasn't a part of like every day going out to Denver talking to Nolan Arenado. But I mean, how often did you hear Nolan talk? I mean, if you watch Rockies games, you heard that and stuff. But when they were struggling at times, they had two playoff seasons for him. But how often did you really hear Nolan talk and do funny stuff? If you watch Rockies games a lot, Jades, what are the funny commercials that they do with Charlie Blackman? You know, they have tons of hilarious. Those are great. You know, Charlie's always staring in the camera. And he's like, you know, even on the off days, I got to get outside. I got to get out of the office and, you know, just be in nature. And he's fishing in where the fountains are at Coors Field. Like, that kind of stuff and promoting your players locally and nationally has got to be something that you really get behind.
Yeah, no, and I agree. But right now, as a whole, baseball is in one of the best parts of the season. I mean, the home stretch of the regular season is so much fun. It gets overshadowed by football because football's right
around the corner. But that's what I'm saying. You have to market your guys better because the NFL is going to drown you out. Playoffs are, what, 2 months away. You are getting into your best moment. We're watching the races take place. It's exciting. But, I mean, listen, Jades, baseball failed even in COVID. They could have got this deal. You know, they were fighting, the players, the owners were fighting over who would get what and the revenue share between how much they would actually make because there weren't going to be fans in the stands and stuff. Well, they kept dragging their feet, and they could have had the entire summer to themselves because basketball stopped in March, right? They could have had the entire summer to themselves with no hockey, no basketball, But they didn't get a deal done until like 3 weeks after the 4th of July. And so by that time, NBA went back into the bubble, NHL got their thing going, and you were back to competing again. So even in that COVID year, when all the other teams were figuring out ways to get their product out there, baseball dragged their feet. It took them forever to figure it out. So I look at that now, and it's like it's kind of the same stuff that you see. You have the talent. You have the excitement factor. Now grow it. Use these players. I think they took a step forward with the All-Star game. Those kind of things can really appeal to that casual fan, so to speak.
No, and I agree with you, but what are they doing now? I mean, they had leverage after the All-Star game, but now what do they have? I mean, you have races going on, but you can't just sit back and rely on that. I mean, baseball as a game isn't enough anymore.
What does the NFL do? Like, it's not, and people would say, okay, well, what do? You market, you get commercials going and stuff, but what has football done? They created a special for their schedule release. Now, again, it's more appealing in the NFL to have that because it's 17 games. It's not as many as we're dealing with baseball or even basketball and hockey. But that's the NFL. They've created events around their schedule. They've created a Hall of Fame game that we talked about last week. Might not be that appealing, but we all still kind of watch it because it's the only preseason game. So what's baseball doing now? I mean, what can you do, I suppose? This is your race. You need to get into it. You got your playoff races happening. So now's the time to really shed some light on that.
No, and I agree with you. And I just don't think that people have the attention span to stay invested for 162 games.
That's the tough part. And they'll never remove the games. They'll never do that.
No, and because at football, you look forward to it every weekend because you have weekends off and you get to just kick back and watch football on a Sunday. Probably have some friends over now and again, and it's something that people enjoy.
Is it the games, you think? Is it the games?
I think it's a schedule, for sure. Because you can watch baseball any day, practically. Whereas football, it's an anticipation game. They make you wait, they draw you in, and then...
Are there things they could be doing in the game, though, to make it more appealing to, you know, I know like Sunday Night Baseball is cool and they build around that, but are they building around it that much? I mean, you know, you get like NBA on TNT. I know when those games are, and I know they're typically going to have really good matchups, and they're going to do the doubleheader on two big games. What is it, on Thursday night? It's like an event, you know, great broadcast crew. They have fun with it, and they're typically intense games.
I like the Field of Dreams stuff that they've been doing.
And that's tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
I actually loved it. Even if the teams aren't great at the time or whatever, I still think that is a great... Like, is Kevin Costner going to do his whole thing again? Like, I loved that last year, where he actually walks out like he did in the movie. I loved it. Goes out onto the mound and looks out at the crowd. Mm-hmm. I think it was great.
I would imagine he does something similar. Just keep it tradition, I guess.
You're right, though. That kind of stuff, find more ways to do that.
But I agree with you. It's just like, where do you go from here? I feel like you got to do more specials because one Field of Dreams game isn't going to be enough.
Well, it's like the NBA, and I don't know the thing. You tell me. I'm a big NBA guy. But I think the idea of this midseason tournament is just ridiculous. I mean, I have no interest in that at all. It's not an all-star game. It's a mid-season tournament where teams can win something. I mean, we've talked about money purse, or they get to have some kind of – it makes sense. It actually means something in the playoffs. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. But that is Adam Silver saying we need to do something to generate more excitement in the dog days of the season, which, as you're saying, you know, right now is not the dog days of the season for Major League Baseball, but – basketball, they're looking at it saying, hey, in the middle of the season when we're far away, then, we need to figure something out here.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think I don't really have a very strong opinion one way or the other for this midseason tournament thing. I honestly couldn't care less, to be honest with you.
No, it's ridiculous.
It's like I see what they're trying to do. I feel like it's a good idea executed poorly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if there's no leverage, no one's going to try to play anyway. It's just going to be another 200 to 205-point game.
You just have to figure out And that's all products here. Because, again, the NFL's king. They can have a Deshaun Watson tarnish their image for a moment. But they're so strong, they bulldoze over that. That's the NFL. Come the start of the season, we got preseason weekend. And once we're in that mode, I hate to say it like this, but people just kind of forget. It's not that they forget. They just kind of move on. The game's great. Love it. You remember all those people who are like, they're kneeling for the flag. I'm never watching again. And I get it. I wasn't 100% on board with it either. I kind of said keep politics out of the actual game. Do your politics elsewhere. And I don't mind that. But people said that, right? I'm never watching again because they kneeled. You're watching. Or you didn't watch in the first place. That's most people. I get a lot of people that comment on our page and go, I don't watch them since they kneel. I'm like, then why are you following our page? We are a sports talk show. We're talking about the same people that you claim to hate. So why are you following the show?
Well, and I see what I think that the NFL does right is it's all about quality over quantity. And no other major sport does that. Right. I mean, the NBA, they still play a ton of games that some mean a lot, others mean nothing. Every game means something in the NFL.
NFL, and that's where college football has it too, is every game in the regular season is absolutely meaningful. It's life or death. You have to be able to win on Saturday, win on Sunday, or that's your season. Nuggets can go on a, heaven forbid, a 10-game losing streak and still kind of be in the mix if they can recover. NFL, you go on a 10-game losing streak, you're the worst team in the NFL. 18 minutes after the hour, when we come back, Josh McDaniels. It's been an interesting road for him. Do you see this guy turning things around from his days in Denver? And we'll talk about it next because I think it is a fascinating story. Also, Mark Johnson will join us, the latest on the Colorado Buffaloes, and we got to get today in the NFL. Biggest questions surrounding the Broncos as we are getting set for joint practices between the Broncos and the Cowboys tomorrow. So they're only going to do one now, I believe, before the game on Saturday. So we'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
I love that one. So some of my listeners don't get that song, but some of them do. Some of them know very well what that song is all about. Jade, you have no clue. You have no clue, right? I mean,
go on, actually, take a guess. I do know.
Well, yeah, now you do. About the Wolfpack and the NWO, WCW, and then they came in the WWE. It was a great history. Man, I don't know if you pay attention to any of that stuff, but the Vince McMahon stuff kind of went crazy, didn't it? He had the alleged hush money that he paid one of the female wrestlers to not talk about any kind of thing that went on between them. And then next thing you know, he's essentially out. He's stepping down. So weird. I know. I'm not going to get into it, but he's a business tycoon. He's a mover and shaker in the sports world, either way you want to slice it. I know. Sorry. Had to go there once, Jades. Had to go there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Clark and the coach, wonderful preps program that isn't afraid to delve into the college world and the professional world. Because Bruce and Clark, those guys are sports guys. So it doesn't matter if it's preps, college, pros. They know what the hell they're talking about. I loved their discussion today. They had a list of guys that will bounce back or drop back or whatever based on changes within their organization or changes with their team. I thought that was a great discussion about, I think I heard Drew Locke on there, Patrick Mahomes on there, Josh McDaniels. And that got me kind of thinking about his career. Will he be better this time around? Because he was with the Broncos, as we know,
from 2009 to 2010. And man, let's just talk about this guy, because he is, I mean, our boy Cody Tucker from 7220 is doing like the villains of Wyoming, like their greatest villains. I saw Bradley Van Pelt's in the mix too. That makes perfect sense. For the Broncos, Josh McDaniels is one of those villains. It's not always an opponent. It's a guy that maybe came in and wrecked the organization and then left. I think Josh McDaniels is certainly one of the enemies of the Broncos. He might be one of the tops. You know what? Because what he did here, you know, okay, he started at Michigan State as a grad assistant. He worked his way up through New England. I mean, he got the job in New England in 2001, almost like rolling right along with Tom Brady's career. He was a defensive assistant 2002 to 2003, then the quarterback's coach, very versatile. Then he was the offensive coordinator from 2006 to 2008. Hired by the Broncos in 2009. That was Josh McDaniels. That time will be infamous for several reasons. But one of the reasons, he was the guy that replaced beloved Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan had kind of started getting to the point where he was going 500 type seasons. And, you know, Pat Bowlen had to make kind of that tough decision, because they were great friends and Pat Bowlen was still making those calls. Had to make that decision to move on from Mike and bring in Josh McDaniels. Well, I just remember those times when McDaniels came in, he was ripping and roaring. He didn't want Jay Cutler as his quarterback. You know, that was the guy that Shanahan kind of hitched his wagon to in his later times with the Broncos. He drafted Jay Cutler even after Jake Plummer had a really good year and went to the AFC Championship. Well, Josh McDaniels wasn't into it. You know, he was interested in Matt Cassel. That was the rumor mill, was that Matt Cassel might be coming to Denver. And then that didn't work out. And so what did Josh McDaniels do? He traded Jay Cutler to the Bears for Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton. I mean, I tried with him, but Orton was just kind of a blah quarterback. He's just blah. You know, it was okay. Between the 20s, he was fine. He just couldn't score a lot of points. He wasn't a bad quarterback. He wasn't moving the needle. So that was a terrible move. He moved Peyton Hillis out of there, which actually worked out. But Peyton Hillis had a good year with the Broncos and then was put on the Madden cover when he went to Cleveland. He moved him out. Had a bad relationship with Brandon Marshall. And you just hear bad things, you know, as far as his practices go, how strict he was, all of that. Well, he comes to Denver despite all those things. And they start 6-0 his first year. 6-0. They beat the Cowboys, who were supposed to be good that year. They beat his old team and the Patriots. He's running up and down the field. He's pumping up the crowd. He's like, let's go. I mean, and then him and Brandon Marshall hugged in the post-game press conference. Like, McDaniels is doing his presser, and there's Marshall. And they come in and they embrace and they give each other a monster hug. And we're thinking, oh my gosh. Something special here is happening. 6-0. And then crap hit the fan. Remember when who was the Chiefs coach at the time? Wasn't Andy Reid. They lost to Haley. Was it Haley? They lost to the Chiefs, or beat the Chiefs, I think. And Haley comes up to Josh and like puts his finger in his face. He's like, hey, we all know. The NFL knows what you're up to. We know what you're doing. Probably cheating in some fashion, I guess. But either way, that season went south. Denver went 8-8 that year after starting 6-0. 8-8 after starting 6-0. The next year, he fizzled again, and he was fired before the season could end, and Eric Studisville took over. And that's then John Elway, enter John Elway. The Josh McDaniels era led to John Elway, which led to John Fox and Gary Kubiak and Peyton Manning and 2 Super Bowl appearances and 4 AFC West championships, 2 AFC championships, and a lot of Pro Bowlers in between. So the Josh McDaniels era led to a lot of great Von Miller. They drafted Von because they were so bad the last year Josh was there. So a terrible time in Broncos country that ultimately led to one of the greatest runs in Broncos country.
kind of crazy when you think about it. He goes to St. Louis as the offensive coordinator for a moment when they were still St. Louis, then back to the Patriots. Then he had that controversial situation where he got the Colts job. He took the Colts job, and then like 2 days later, he's like, never mind, I'm good. Stays with the Patriots. Now he's the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I said this when he was fired. I said, I think Josh McDaniels, his next job, he's going to be a damn good coach. And I said, I just hope it's not in the AFC West. I think he was given too much. He was kind of the manager and the GM and the coach. He was given too much. He was essentially given Mike Shanahan's job, the full job. And I thought, man, if he can just grow and learn a little bit more, because he wanted to come in and move everybody out of here. I worry that he's going to get it right with the Raiders. In fact, I'm counting on it. Can the Broncos get it more right? 12:32 the time. We're going to take a short break. We're going to have Mark Johnson join us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.